We're on Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis, and we're about to begin the Agadato, which is after the two dots, ten lines down from the top of the page. And the Agadato opens by quoting a Parshan Amos in which the Navi is Mochiach Es Yisrael. He castigates Jewish people that they're not following his prophecies of Peronios, and instead they dedicate themselves to Tanugim. Veracious Shmonim Yimshachu. And they anoint themselves with the finest of oils. Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmuel Ze Plaiton. This is a reference to balsam, which is, according to the Aruch, this we derive from a different pasuk in Bamidbar, Kinecholim Natayu Kiginas Ale Nohar Kelohim Natashem Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Bilo Mechanis Yisrael Kignus Shel Bitzolim or Gino Shel Bitzolim Sherecham Rav Ani Mechanosam Keolim Shel Plaiton Shein Recho Yofa Ein Reach Yofa Mimenu Shenemar Mor Violos Uktzios. So this Medrash shows the contrast between Bilam, who says things about Klal Yisrael that are negative, and he compares them to Bitzolim, to onions that have a bad smell, but Hashem compares us to Plaiton, which has a very good smell. So we know from this Medrash that Plaiton is something that has a Reach Tov, Reach Yofa, and therefore the Gemara uses this Plaiton to explain what kind of oils the Navi is calling Kali, so that they're just anointing themselves with these beautiful oils. Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked a kasha from a brisa that after the Churban Bayis Sheni, there was an enactment on various things that were prohibited because a person should feel the tsar of Churban. And amongst them, Al Plaiton, Gozer Rav Yehuda ben Bava, that we should not anoint ourselves with this balsam, this Plaiton, Velo Hodulo Chachomim. The Chachomim rejected this gzera, and they said, no, you're allowed to use Plaiton even after Churban HaBayis. V'yamrit Mishum Tainug. If the Pasuk in Amos is telling us that the Jews are rebuked because they use this balsam for the sake of pleasure, is Amailo Hodula, why didn't the Chachomim agree to Rabbi Yehuda ben Besora and prohibit Plaiton because of its Tainug, which is antithetical. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova, that's antithetical to the state of Tsar, of what we call Avelus Yeshana, over the Churban HaBayis. So Rabbi Yosef wanted to prove from the fact that the Chachamim refused to prohibit Plaiton after the Churban, that Sikh of a Plaiton is not for the purpose of Tainug. It doesn't give you this positive state of pleasure, but rather it removes Reach Ra, and it removes something negative. And therefore they didn't institute this Gezerah. And it's interesting because Rabbi Eliezer was mater a woman to go out with Plaiton. And that itself seems to indicate that it's not Tainug, it's only Hasoras Reach Ra. Therefore, they weren't afraid that she might take this Tzluchis, this utensil that has balsam in it, and remove it and then carry it because she doesn't want to be in a Reach Ra position. But the Chachamim say that maybe Plaiton is even for Tainuk. And that's why we should be choshesh in the case of an isha yotzeis beplaitun. So that's why Rav Yosef comes to prove that even according to Chachamim, the asiyah, the creation of this balsam anointment, is not l'shem tainuk. So the Gemara adds another kasha, Amalei Abaye, and this is a question that Abaye raises to Rav Yosef, Ulutaymech. According to the underlying logic, the premise that Chachamim, according to you, should have prohibited after the Churban all the Tanugim, including something like Plaiton, is Hadichsiv, the Pasuk at the beginning of this Tochacha, mentions amongst the various Tanugim that they were dedicated to, and the Navi rebuked them, is Hashosim v'Mizrkei Yayin. And what does this mean, Hashosim v'Mizrkei Yayin, the literal translation of which is that they drink various flasks of wine. Just 1 second here, I'm sorry, trying to turn this page and it's not... Oh, there it is. Bowls of wine, I sort of was flasks of wine. And there's a machlokshin, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, exactly what's included here in Mizrkei Yayin. Chanom, according to one opinion, it's kanishkanim. These are glass vessels that are very long, and they have two or three reeds. And these reeds are like straws or spouts, and two people drink from this glass at the same time, or maybe even three people. And when they put the yayin into their mouth, then the kanim are maleim yayin. These reeds or straws are filled with wine. That's why it's called Mizrkei Yayin, because the yayin is nizrak mikona lekona. From the corner, it gets thrown, so to speak, up to the top. The Chad Omar, according to another opinion, Mizrkei Yayin means mizarkin kososeyem zelazet. They had a very special umnus, and they were sort of professional about this, a very great skill, and they were able to throw glasses from one to the other without the wine in the glass spilling at the time of the Zrika. But the bottom line is, Hochinami di Asir, according to your logic, Rav Yosef, whatever is included in the castigation of the Navi because it's considered Tainuk should be prohibited after the Churban, we never found any indication that such an Iser was enacted. So you see that even if something is considered a tainug and it's included in the castigation of the Navi, nevertheless it doesn't mean that therefore ipso facto it has to be asur after the Churban. Not if anything listed in this pasuk in Amos is going to be included in this enactment to prohibit it after the Churban. Gemara adds now that don't tell me that there was a gzera on this. Taha Rabba Barbahuna Ikla Lebe Reshka Lusa Vishasa Biknishkanit. And the Reshka Lusa actually had this skillful trick, a tall glass with two spouts so the two people could drink simultaneously. Velo Omar Le Velo Midi. And the Reshka Lusa, when he drank like this, Rabbah didn't say anything. He didn't protest. Apparently he felt it was mutter. So you see that this Mizrkei Yayin, although it's included in the castigation, nevertheless it's mutter. It's not true that every single tainug has to be prohibited after the Churban because of the tsar of the Churban. Ela kol midi de ispei tainug ve ispei simcha. So what exactly now the Gemara wants to define is the criterion for that which the Rabbanan prohibited, Mishum Tsar HaChurban. It's something that has a Tainug and Simcha. Goes Rabbanan. Avol midi de ispei Tainug velespei Simcha. If something has Tainug, like for example, this kind of a balsam oil, is then if ein bo simcha, then lo gozer abonon. So therefore, the shemen plaiton is not included in the gzeirah because although there's tainug, but nevertheless there's no simcha. So there are two dinim here. There's one din of tochacha, in which the navi says, "Why are you so involved with tainug?" And that would include anything that has tainug. And then there's the enactment of certain actions that were prohibited because they're antithetical to the feelings we should have, the grief and mourning over the loss of the Mikdash. That has to be an action which is not only tainug, but it's also in simcha. So this kind of yayin that was drunk from the tall grass with many spouts, or you know, the skillful trick in which two people would juggle cups of wine between themselves, that's not considered both tainug and simcha. Again, there is an element of tainug here, otherwise the Navi wouldn't have included it in the castigation. But it's not simcha. And even though yayin for sure is misameach, yayin yisamach leif enosh, that's why on Yontif where we have a mitzvah simcha, we have a mitzvah shtiyas yayin, and certainly on Purim. But nevertheless, that simcha of drinking wine is not included in the Isur simcha of liachar achurban. Like for example, the Brisa says in Babasu daf samach, lo gozru lesor shtiyas yayim, mipnei shigzeiro she'ein rov hatzibur yicholim lamod ba. And you're talking about a tainug miyuchad of shtiyas yayim. It's a very unique kind of tainug when you drink wine. But the simcha itself, that's not something that was prohibited after the Churban. Now, once the Gemara begins understanding and explaining the pasuk that deals with the Tocha, the Navi, with regard to Shemen Plaiton, the Gemara goes on to talk about other Tochachos of the Navi. Hashochvim Almitos Shein Usruchim Al Arsosam. And this pasuk means that they lie upon their beds of ivory, stretched out on their couches. V'yomer Rav Yosi b'Rav Chanina, the word sruchim, which we translated as stretched out, melame the teacher sorry mashtinim mayim bifnei mitosehem. It seems that the word sruchim, in addition to meaning that it was stretched out, it also means something that's most, it's something repugnant. And it says al arsosam, which is a reference to their beds. So the Gemara has this new category, at least to me it's new, of someone who urinates in front of his bed and he's naked, and that's considered something disgusting. And if they needed to urinate and they were in their bed, then why wouldn't they get dressed and go outside and urinate? They were lazy about it or whatever, and they urinate on the floor next to their beds. And that's called sruchim. And that's something that's despicable, and it's a davar mos. And most probably, this is symbolic of some other repugnant kind of acts around their beds, but we'll see as we go along. Now, Rabbi Avo was not happy with this interpretation. Megadif bar Rabbi Avo, he scoffed at it. Ihachi, because if this be the case, that their avera was terrible because they stood naked and urinated in front of their beds. Hainu dechsiv, what is the punishment that the Navi foretells for this kind of mita srucha business. Lachein ata, now, yiglu barosh golim. They'll be exiled at the head of the exiles. Is mishum d'vashtin in mayim b'fnei mitosem arumim yiglu barosh golim? Do they deserve this severe punishment going into exile, the head of the exiles, because they urinate in front of their beds? Okay, it's Mos, but it doesn't make sense that the punishment should be so severe. But rather, El Omar Rabbi Avo, I'm going to interpret the Pasuk Sruchim al-Arsosam in a different way. Elu Heim, Elu Bnei Adam, these are men and women, Shayu Ochlim V'Shosim Zen Zeh, they would eat and drink with each other, and they had all sorts of tanugim and pleasures of eating that are mentioned in this pasuk, as we saw before. And once they ate and drank together with women, and it could be women who were their friends' wives, is they came to do znus, to acts of immorality. Dovkim midoseim zu bezu, they attached their beds one to another. Umasrichim are so some b'shichva zera she'enam shalahem. And it's interesting that shichva zera very often is called soruch. It's something that's repugnant. And those who engage in this kind of swapping behavior, this terrible immorality behavior, they deserve to go into exile. And he says, the ofen shanoshim lo tuchalno lisaber v'shichva zera she'ein misaberes mimenu masreches. So what does this mean? He says that the Marsha has a little bit of a different twist here to this Gemara, because we started by saying that Ochle v'shosim yachanim nesheich avrehem and boim lidei znus and dovkim mitoseim zubuzim achlifim v'shoseim zemzeh. And this is hinted at the posuk ha-shochvim al mitos shein. And what does he mean when he says, so you mishamshim bi'ofish ha-noshim lo tuchalna? Oh, I see. In other words, they did some sort of withdrawal after they had this immoral relationship, so that the shichva zera would go on the bed, and the husband, the real husband, would now sleep on a bed that had the zera of another man. And the reason why the man would remove his organs such that the semen would go on the bed is because he wanted to make sure that this woman wouldn't get pregnant. But the act of immorality is called masrachas. Om Rabbi Avo, v'amri le, and others say v'masnis and tonets and a bride. Shlosha dvar mevim es ha'odim l'dianius. Three sins will bring a person to poverty. Hamashtin mayim b'fnei mitoso k'shu orum. U'mezalzo b'netilas yodaim l'su'udu v'she'ishto mekaloso b'fonov. So the Gemara is going to have to explain why these three categories brings to poverty. Number one, they urinate before the bed naked. Number two, they treat the mitzvah of washing the hands lightly. Number three, they're cursed by one's wife in their own presence, while they're present. And one has to wash his hands in a certain manner before eating a meal. That's a mitzvah d'rabbanon, a chiyuv d'rabbanon. So now the Gemara goes through these three. What it says, Hamashtin mayim b'fnei mitoso orom, he will come to Ianius, Omer Ravalo Amoron, El demahader ape lefurie. He actually faces the bed, and that's something disgusting, which causes poverty, brings poverty. Aval Avroi, if he turns his back to the bed, Leslan Ba, you don't have to worry about getting smitten with poverty. because the kiluach of the urine shoots away from the bed, because he turns away from the bed, and therefore ein mitoso nim eses bekach. And the Rosh Yosef writes here on this Gemara that you need to distance yourself a minimum of 4 amas from the mita. And just the opposite. I'm sorry. He actually insists that once he's machzer ponov and he turns the other way, even if he's within 4 amos of his mita, the kiluach goes to a far distance, and it doesn't make his bed disgusting. Now, there could be a difference here between a man and a woman, because if we're saying a man, when he urinates, has this kiluach, and therefore goes further, a woman doesn't have that kiluach. So even if she's turning the other way, it would probably be also. She'd really have to be marchik herself 4 amas from the mita. And the Gemara goes on to mizalzel benitilas yodayim. That also is going to create poverty. He didn't wash his hands at all. If he didn't use that much water, you know, he did a half-baked job, so to speak. He washed his hands, but not with ribui mayim. And for example, he might not have did what's called shifshuv zubazu to, today in our present situation is so much about how to wash your hands. He didn't do such a good job. Is that leslan ba? But if it's lo moshe yodei klal, that's what we're talking about. He didn't wash his hands. He just ate the meal without washing his hands. The Gemara now rejects Rava. Lav milsihi. Why? The Omer of Chizda ano mashai Melo chofni mayim, and ira chatzdi is melo chofni mayim, and as a reward, yovuli melo chofni tivusa. They gave me in the shamayim a melo chofnayim of tova. Now we get to the third category here that causes aniyas she ishto. In other words, she anticipated that her husband would buy her jewelry, he had the funds, and he didn't do so. So she was sort of like, in a sense, mistreated by her husband. And therefore, she cursed him. This only applies if he's guilty, because he should have bought her tachshitim, he had the wherewithal, the means, and therefore he caused her tsar, and she was so distressed about this to the point to which she actually cursed him. And now, you know, when she sees that this is the way he behaves towards her, and he was he wasn't meticulous about using his funds in the right way, you know, that's to treat his wife properly with covet and so forth. He didn't do that. So he deserves to lose his possessions, and that's going to bring him to anius. Now the Gemara wants to go back to the tochacha, a different tochacha that deals with the sin of arayas, since we spoke about sexual immorality. And in the tochacha about the benos tzion, which we're about to learn now, we're going to see a remez to this avera, meaning that the Benos Tzion and Yeshayahu HaNavi are being castigated because they didn't walk bitznius, in a modest kind of way. And they walked in a way that they tried to attract attention from the young men, hoping that maybe one of the young men would have an illicit relationship. Vayomer Hashem Yan ki gavu benos tzion vateilachna netuyos goron umesakros ena enayim holoch vitofof teilachna ubragleim tachasna dorash rova breder of ila maidichsiv. What does this pasuk in the Tochacha mean when the Navi rebukes the Bnos Yisrael And he says, Vayomer Hashem Yan Ki Govu Bnos Tzion. What is this referring to? Ki Govu Bnos Tzion. What is the chait of Govu here? So the Gemara quotes Rabba Bered Rav Eloi, and he says that sin was Shayom Halchos Bekomas Kufa. They would walk in such an upright way, and it looked like they were tall women. And Vatelachna Netuyos Goron, meaning Shahoyu Mahalchos Okev Bitsad Gudol. They would walk with their heel next to the front of their foot. I'll read it to you in the translation here. It says, "So imahalchos okay bitzad gudol, walk with short steps, putting the heel of one foot next to the big toe of the other." And walking slowly, that other people, men, would gaze at them. And this is related to the Kigavu Bnos Tzion. Because when a person walks with his neck outstretched and proceeds slowly and deliberately, because he can't see his feet. And then Umisakros Einayim, they get with gazing eyes, the Hava Malon Kuchla Leinayhu Maramzon. They would fill their eyes with blue, with makeup, and beckon to the young men with their eyes. Then it says, Holoch v'tofof, floating as they walked, Shahoy mahalchos arucha b'tzad k'tzara. A tall woman would walk dafka next to a short woman in order to attract attention. She would sort of float above the short woman, and that would increase our attractiveness. Ubraglam tachasna, with their feet they would spew venom. Omer Rav Yitzchak, Debei Rabbi Ami, Melamed Shematilim Mar Vafar Simon Bi Min Alehem. So they would put all these very attractive, fragrant smells, things in their shoes. Umahalchos Peshuke Yerushalayim, they would walk in the marketplace of Yerushalayim, Kevin Shamigios Eitzel Bachurei Yisrael, and when they passed the young men of Israel, Boatos Bekarka, they would stamp on the ground, Metizos Aleim, and they would spray their perfume over them. Because again, we said the Farsimon, this balsam was Bimin Aleim, was in their shoes, so when they spit back, when they would bang their feet, and stamp on the ground, that would allow a spray of perfume to get over them. Umachnisos bohen yetzara ke'eres b'cha'us. And they successfully were able to penetrate the evil inclination into them like the venom of an angry snake. And that's because it says ta'achasna. And if you take the ayin chof samach of tachasno, you get eches, which is the venom of a snake. And this is secreted by a snake when it gets angry. So therefore the similarity between eches and kaas. And my paranusa, what are the punishments for these kind of women? Kididorish, Rabba Bar Ula, like the exposition of Rabba Bar Ula, Vahoya Tachas Bosem Mak Yihye. Also a pasuk in Amos. This is a complicated pasuk. We'll just try to read the Hebrew translation here. It says that Bisaron B'makom shayu mizbas mospo nasus nemokim nemokim nirkav v'nimas. That the exact place where they perfumed themselves became full of decay, nirkav v'nomis. That's how Rashi interprets it. V'tachas chagora nikpa. And the Torah goes on to say that instead of the belt bruising, B'mokom she'u chaguros b'tzaltzal, and this is what you call tzaltzal, chagura na, So they girded themselves with a belt, a beautiful belt, and nasa nekafim nekafim. And that place itself became nekafim nekafim chaburos chaburos. Full of bruises. Vetachas masa miksha miksha karcha. Instead of carved items of jewelry, there was boldness. Shemakom shayu miskashdos bo. Those places on their hair where they made themselves beautiful and they combed and they perfumed, nasu krochim, became bald spots. Dafka in the place where they adorned themselves, their punishment was it became full of bald patches. Visachas psigil machgores sok, instead of sash, a belt of sackcloth. It means psachim hamavim lidei gila. These are openings that lead to gila. Now, what does the word gila mean? So the translation that I have is gilui oso makom, which means gilui miloshen, to expose. And it exposed their private parts. And that became krochim krochim. And yilamach gores sak. Yu chagoros sak al masneihem, the girding of sackcloth. And this is Rashi based on a pasuk in Yeshayah. Ve'anovi misayim ki sachas yofi. All these disgusting things will be a replacement for the beauty that she was so proud of, that these lewd women were so proud, and they would display it. Omar Rava Hainuk Diyami Inshi Chilufe Shufra Keva, in exchange for beauty, sores. Now the Gemara explains the punishment, the extra punishment, that's mentioned by the Navi, when it says Vesipa Hashem Kodkod Benos Tzion Bashem Poshein Yarena. And the Gemara is going to darshan each part of this pasuk. Vesipa Hashem Kodkod Benos Tzion, the Lord will afflict the heads of the daughters of Zion with lesions. Omer Rav Yossi Rav Chanina Malamid Sheparcho Ben Saras, that these women would suffer tsaras, which in English translates as leprosy. Again, I'm not sure that the word tsaras here means leprosy, but it's some sort of dermatological phenomenon of a pathological nature. And Ksiv Hacha, how do we know that this pasuk of Vesipach is an allusion to Tzaras? Here it says Vesipach uksiv hasam in Vayikra Yedalet, in the Parsha Mitzor, it says Lasa'es Vila Sapachas. So although the word Sapachas is written with a Samach, here it's written with a Sin, but those are interchangeable. And this Maris Negoim of Tzaras, which is called Sapachas, teaches us that Vesipech, or Vesipach, that is used by the Novi in relation to Bnos Yisrael, is a reference to the Onesh, this punishment of Tzaras. Another punishment is indicated in the Pasuk of Hashem, Psohein Ya'ora, and Hashem will cause their openings to pour, because the word poshein is a reference to the pischeim, their openings. And again, we're referring to the general area. Is Rav and Shmuel machlokas chada omar? When it says ye'ore, it's miloshon shficha. And where do we see shficha? So if yara is miloshon nishpachu, it means poured out, kikiton, like a pitcher. And what this might mean is that they were afflicted with abnormal flow of blood. That's the way Rashi seems to learn it. V'chad omar, The word Ya'are is Miloshen Yar. Shenasu Pischem Ki Yar. Their openings became like a forest, which means their privates became full of hair, which made them repulsive. Again, I'm not sure exactly why they couldn't remove that hair. And now we go on to the sins of Anshe Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban. Om Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Anshe Yerushalayim, Anshe Shachatz Hayu. These were men of very difficult to translate the word Shachatz. He calls them Gasei Ruach, Hamadabrim Beloshon Gaiva. They are haughty, they're conceited. And they would speak in an arrogant, gilded tongue, and they would mask their low behavior by using high-class speech. That's called shachtzanut, used even in modern Hebrew. And, you know, people who speak in a way that's an obscure way and with remuzim, you know, they never say anything exactly what they mean. Adam Omer Lechavero. Here's how they hid, you know, in fancy words, what their true intention was. Bamesa Adito Ayom. What did you eat today? The Kavanosa, but the deeper meaning of this cryptic sentence was Bameshi Mashta Mitoscha Hayom. Not sure what he means with the word Bameh, Shimashta Mitoscha Hayom. Oh, that's an introduction, sorry, to the next phrase, the next question, which is Bepasa Mela or Bepasha Eina Mela. Mela means it was well needed, or bread that was not well needed. And what that means is, did he have a relationship with a Ba'ula or with a Basula? B'yayin gardali, which is shardalai wine, a white wine. There's gardali, that's a white wine, and then there's something called, here we turn to Sama Kimel, B'yayin chardali. Chardali is black wine, or red, probably dark red wine. In other words, what was the complexion of the woman that you had relations with today? Was she dark or was she light? B'masav rachav o b'mesav kotzar. Did you rest on a bed shemesubin ole b'shas achila rachav, it was wide, meaning she was a fat woman, o b'mesav kotzar, or she was a thin, emaciated woman. The bed was narrow. B'chavar tov or b'chavar ra. In other words, was she a good-looking woman or not? Amar Rav Chisda v'kulan, and all these questions that they asked each other were l'znus, were for immorality. Amar Rachva, Amar Rav Yehuda, Atzei Asaka Shev Yushalayim Shel Ki Naman Hayu. The logs that they used for fuel for their bonfires were of cinnamon trees. Ubishoshayu masikim behem, when they used it to light up their oven, Rechan oyenodev bechol Eretz Yisrael. This beautiful, fragrant smell of the cinnamon tree would waft through all of Eretz Yisrael. Ubishacharva Yushalayim nignizu, but after the destruction, these were hidden. There's nothing left of these woods, of this kind of wood. Ella Kisaora, a very small log that's the size of a barley grain. Umishtakach, and you can find it, Begazoi, in the storehouses, the Tzimtzamai Malkosa, of a queen whose name was Tzimtzamai. We don't know exactly why the word Tzimtzamai here appears, unless that was her name, but the Marsho wants to give it a little bit more meaning, and he says that Tzimtzamai means adorn. And the Gemara's suggesting here that the last piece of cinnamon wood was stored in the treasure house of a certain king and was used as a perfume for the queen. Now we're up to the next Mishnah, which is about seven lines down on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. And this has to do with the prohibition of wearing in a Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos different kinds of weapons that are used during battle, and you're not allowed to wear them in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And although we're referring here to men, it says Lo Yetzei Ha'ish. The Meiri already points out the Gam Ha'ish Asura Latzeis Bekelim Hamavu Arim B'Mishnah. But it wasn't regular, commonplace for the women to wear these things, so therefore the Mishnah mentions an ish. Lo b'sayif, a sword, lo b'keshes, which would be a bow, velo b'tris, which would be a shield, velo b'ola. Now exactly what an ola is, the Gemara is going to have to take that up soon, velo b'romach. And Romach is a spear. We actually have in our Gemara, in the Masifta, a picture of a spear. And there's one picture of a Romach, which is a very long and thin spear. And That's the only picture they give for a Romach. Again, there are other pictures here of a Sayif, an Ola, a Tris, Cherev, Chanis, and Mazmer. So in Yotza, if somebody on Shabbos went out with any of the carrying any of these weapons on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah, he's Chayv Chata, so the Yisrael Tzah is Doraisa. That's according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Elezer Omer, Tachshitinheim, that these are considered ornaments because of the, you know, the show of might when they wear these things. V'yenu chayv aleihem, and he's not going to be chayv hotzah because it's like a tachshit. Now, in general, when you carry a tachshit in your hands, then your chayiv, tachshit, has to be attached to your body or to your garments. But that's most tachshitim, which are adorn the clothing, etc. But kli melchama is derech haskashtus bahem shiyu nosim b'yadeim. So the way that he adorns himself, or shall we say, a jewel, is by carrying these things. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer insists that he would not be in violation of Melechas Hotzah Doraisa. Chachamim Omrim, Einam Ela Lignai. Chachamim, which is the Tanakhama, coming to interpret the words of the Tanakhama, it's a Gnai. Shenemar. In other words, the famous pasuk in Yeshaya, which I think is written on the inscribed on the outside of the United Nations, basically Yeshaya says, "V'kitzesu charbosom le'itim, v'chaninosein le'mazmeros." So this is a disgrace, because the Tanakh is telling us that at the time of Moshiach, there swords will be beaten into plowshares, their spears into pruning shears. Nation shall not lift a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And all this indicates that this is a disgrace. And these adornments are disgraceful. And in the future they'll be consigned to oblivion. L'liyosid lovi yikotshu, they'll grind up these ornaments, or beat them down, if you will. All these clay, milchama, these beautiful, weapons. Kidei lasus mem kli avodas adoma v'kemi shebizmana hu lo yiskaimu od milchamos lo yitzuchu lilmo taksise milcham. They don't have to learn and study the battle, you know, the methods of battle. And therefore, you can't tell me that these kli milchama are takshitim, because if that would be the case, there's no reason to for them to be betalim liosid lovo b'vadai. This is a gnai. It's not a tachshit, and ayotzi mehem chayev chat. So the Gemara later on is going to try to explain how Rabbi Eliezer would contend against this pasuk. The Mishnah continues, biris, which is a kind of a bracelet that a woman wears around her foot. So I guess you would call it, is there a word here? Just 1 second. I'm just looking to see if he... So I said that it's like a bracelet around her foot. However, he translates it as samid shaondos paragle me'al lebote shukeha me'al agarbayim kidei ladekam shelo yiplu v'yiskalu shukeha. So this is something that she wears up on the thigh to keep her stockings on up on top, so that her legs will not be exposed. And the Mishnah says tahura, which means that there's no kabbalas tumah, there's no susceptibility to tumah for these garters. And the Gemara is going to tell us why. V'yotzim ben b'shabbos, and you're allowed to wear them in shus harabim. We're not afraid that she might take them off, because if she takes them off, her feet, you know, her stockings will fall down, and her legs will, thighs will be exposed, so she certainly won't do that. And another din that the Mishnah adds is kvolim t'meim v'yenom yotzim ben b'shabbos. That there's something called kvolim, which are leg chains, and they are susceptible to tumah, and she's not allowed to wear them in Rishus HaRabim. And once again, the Gemara is going to discuss this as well. So we'll stop here on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, after the Mishnah, approximately 12 lines down from the top. My Be'olah.